Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
We're going to continue our series on being devoted. Last week we had Andy talking to us about being devoted to worship. And then a couple of weeks ago, before we went away on the weekend, we had Ben talking to us about generosity. And today I'm going to speak about being devoted to truth. And next week, Ben's going to come and talk to us about being devoted to each other. So Andy said last week, and I just wanted to highlight it, but that God is searching. And I really felt that really struck a chord, that God is searching for a people who search for him and for his kingdom. And it's all wrapped up in this thing about being devoted. So one of the things we haven't really talked about up till now is what it means to be devoted. You know, it's a part of living life and life to the full. I think God intended us to be devoted to certain things, particularly to him. But Jesus talked in John 10 about living life to the full. And I think being devoted is a part of that. The other thing I want to say is it attracts people. So when we're passionate about things, when we're devoted to things, it brings somebody in. And that's why we're talking in this mini-series, Out of Acts, about being devoted. So let's pick up where we're talking out of in Acts 2, and we'll start at verse 42. So I'm reading out the NIV today. It starts, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So, what does it look like to be devoted? What are you devoted to? I love cars. I love driving. I sort of spent quite a bit of money when I was a young man, sort of on cars, before other things came along that I had to give my money to. But you couldn't really say I was devoted to cars or devoted to driving. Yeah, I love them and I was passionate about it. And it's something, if you want to get me in a conversation, it's one of the things that you can engage me in and I'll be off. Other than that, sort of my words are few. But so what am I devoted to? Well, one of the things I'm devoted to is family. That Andrea, Isaac, Ethan, Anne, my mum and dad, they're things that I'm devoted to. I put them first. Before everything else, my family comes first. And that's a right biblical thing. Except, of course, God comes higher. He's first. Yeah? But in being devoted to God, I need to be devoted to my family. So being devoted is kind of like a loyalty thing. It's kind of, you know, putting things first. The dictionary definition, because I love dictionary definitions because it gives us an idea what we're talking about. The word is very loving or loyal. Give all or most of one's time or resources to. And then this one that I really love, it's about giving over to the display, to the study, to the discussion of. That's what we're called to do, to be devoted to God, given over to the display of God's glory, given over to the study of God, given over to the discussion of God, given over to the study, the display of generosity, given over to the display, the study of truth, given over to the study, the display, the discussion of each other. So that's being devoted to. Today we're going to talk about being devoted to truth. So what is truth? This is a really rubbish definition, but we know it when we see it. You see, I think God built us to be truthful because God is true. God is truthful, and we were made in his image. So it's built into us. But let's go back to what the dictionary says. Dictionary says that truth is that which is true. Duh. Or in accordance with fact or reality. A fact or belief that is accepted as true. Look up true. True. In accordance with fact or reality, accurate or exact. You're obviously all the wiser now. Yeah? No, I'm not. It doesn't really compute, yeah? And that's why I come back to, we kind of know it when we see it, yeah? Because even out there in the world, people teach their kids that telling the truth is important. Yeah, we might snigger when our two-year-old comes along and says, sort of, the sky's red. And you go, no, it's really not, it's blue. And sort of, they then give you an excuse that tells you why the sky is red, why you're wrong for believing that it's blue. Yeah? And you can't help but laugh. But equally, actually, truth is important. And that's what we teach our kids. Now, at some point, we work out for ourselves that there's a consequence to telling the truth, that it can affect what people think of us, that it can lead us into trouble. But that doesn't mean that telling the truth isn't important. Romans 3 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I don't think there's anyone who can stand here, raise a hand and honestly say, I have never, ever lied. Because even if we go back to when we were two, yeah, we have. All of us have done it. But we need to live in truth and in what God calls us to. And we need to speak truth, no matter what the consequences are. I think, you know, when we look at politics at the moment, part of the problem that drives us around the bend with politicians is that we see them say one thing and then they do something else. And or we see them barefaced sort of tell a lie and you think, that just isn't true. The result is that we have people who are disconnected from politics now and they aren't interested in the European elections and electing people because they don't feel it changes anything when people don't tell the truth. So it's something that we value. I had a friend, strangely enough, we bonded over cars and driving, and he was came out with these stories, which were fantastic. And you'd sort of get really amazed. They either made you laugh or they made you go, wow, isn't that great? But the longer I got to know him, the more I realized that these stories were unending. He seemed to have been involved in so many different things that you're going, either you've lived a very, 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 very full life, or some of these stories aren't quite true to you. And the problem is that that led me to a sort of, I love him. I spent time, you know, and it was always great being with him. But actually, there was always that I need to take a pinch of salt with what you're saying. And the challenge is to not be in that position. The challenge is where people know our yes is yes and our no is no. I went around to Ben a little while ago just to be accountable, just tell him where things were at in my life. And one of the things that Ben finished up by saying is something like, you're really truthful, and I can't believe how open you are. And my immediate reaction was, no, you don't know me, Ben. You don't know where I've walked. Because there was a time where I very nearly ruined everything just by not being truthful. I had, it just started off in the smallest of ways that I'd tell a white lie, you know, that kind of thing where I'm telling you the truth, so I'm not lying, but I'm not telling you everything. And it descends into a very slippy slope. And before I knew it, I was actually at the point where I basically ruined everything. And it was only through the grace of God that I was brought back into restoration. And it made me come to a point where I had to say, truth is fundamental. It's important that I tell it. And actually, what's the issue with me not telling the truth? Yeah, I don't get everything right. I don't, you know, I'm not perfect. I get, you know, still get things wrong. Andrea gracefully tells me sort of, why didn't you tell me this? Why, you know, why am I only discovering this now? And it's sort of like, yeah, I'm sorry, bad again, you know. But truth is foundational to who we are. So when Ben actually told me, you're really truthful and I can't believe how open you are. Actually, it's who I am now. And it's not who God made me to be. You know, that I fell, yes, but there was restoration. And now my passion and hope is to be truthful in all situations. So I had this dream. And it's like well over 2 months ago that I had this dream. But God was just preparing me sort of for it. So I'm going to try and enact this dream for you today, just because it's the point that God's making. So hence the props. So I'm going to need a volunteer. So yeah, you were going to be the volunteer until you did that on Thursday. So Ethan, I'll use you sort of, yes. So, here is a piece of wood, okay? Can you just measure the length of the wood? There's a tape measure there.
All the way around?
No, just the height. So, this is a really dodgy door frame, okay? So, you need a hand, I'm sorry. Two meters 11. Are you sure? Because it was bending a bit. Yeah? Let's get this right. measure accurately. Okay, 2 meters 11. All right, next thing. We'll ignore health and safety and ask you to measure me, my height. Try not to take the coffee. Okay. So. All right. Here's where I give away my height. In your own time.
180.
Okay, cool. So, 180. So, if that length of wood is 2 meters 11, okay, and yeah, okay, there's the top bit. I can walk under that wood, yeah? So I can walk through a door frame if we erect it as a door. Yeah? Right, great. Love it. Okay, would you mind holding this piece of wood up? You're going to act as my wall now. And let's hope my dodgy DIY works. Okay, so, right. Sort of, okay.
What?
Right. Okay, why hold
is this
it.
Slanted?
Well,
why are you
telling me how to take this truth? You just told me that this is 2 meters plus.
Yeah, but it's still, sorry.
Well, just hold it. No, no, no. Like I say, at that angle.
Okay,
you got it? Do we need another person to hold this end?
You're not getting under it.
Exactly. Yeah? This was my dream. I'm banging my head into a doorframe that's been measured as being more than 2 meters. There's no question I should be able to walk under it. Yeah? The truth is, that's 2 meters. I can walk under it. Except I can't, and I'm going to stop doing that because I'll hurt my head. Thank you. Round of applause for my willing assistant. So it's not just about the facts. Yeah? The facts are, that's 2 meters. Plus, yeah, 2 meters 11. And I'm only 180, yeah? So there ought to be a good 20 centimeters, yeah? But there are other things that are at play. So the reality is that I can't walk under it, but I can walk under it, yeah? The reality is that's 2 meters 11. We've measured it, we've double made sure, yeah? But here's the crux. The reality is defined by how God sets the reality, not by how we set it. See, the problem with man, why we fell, is because we basically made ourselves God. We define our truth in our own image. Yeah? And that all depends on which way we're leaning at the time. And I do mean that pun intentionally. That door frame is set by the way we're leaning at the time. So how do we determine what's true? Builders use either one of these, which is a plumb line, that will always be vertical, okay? Providing I use it correctly, that is always vertical. I can cheat the system by not using it properly and put it on the ground, but that is always vertical when it's used correctly, okay? And so, what does that plumb line represent? So the plumb line, just some of the things that it represents. The first thing is the Bible, Scripture, yeah? That The Bible defines God's reality. It tells us how God wants us to live. So it's a great place to start. But actually, it's easy to misinterpret the Bible, yeah? As lots of various theological discussions go on out there, yeah? That the Bible was written more than 2,000 years ago for certain parts of it. And so there are things like the culture there that we don't completely understand in the Western world here and now, yeah? Because things have changed. And so we don't completely get it. But that doesn't make it any the less true. Just because it's difficult to interpret doesn't make it not the truth. Okay? So the thing that we really need when we're reading the Bible is the Holy Spirit. Okay? And the Holy Spirit is the second part of that plumb line. Because just as Andy talked last week about how key the Holy Spirit is to our worship, yeah, the Holy Spirit is key to us being recognizing the truth, yeah? Because the Holy Spirit is God and he speaks truth. And all we need to do is to listen to him, to what he's saying. Galatians 5 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." And again, that comes back to, you know, part of the problem of us defining truth is that we define it in our own image. And actually, what the Bible's saying here is we need to interpret it as God sees it. The thing about truth is it defines boundaries, yeah? And that actually, when we live in truth, we have set boundaries, but it gives us immense freedom by having those boundaries. It's one of the things that we do as parents is to set boundaries for kids so that they understand, you know, what they can and can't do. And you can set those boundaries really confined, but you can also set them clearly so that kids have freedom and understand consequences and all of those things. So, you know, the Holy Spirit, it sets our boundaries for us, but in that, we are free. It's not a free-for-all. We can't go anywhere we like, yeah? And that's the problem. When we set our boundaries, we set them so loose that we think we can wander anywhere on the map. But actually, the Holy Spirit says different, and we need to live according to what the Holy Spirit says. The Holy Spirit's the power for living a Christian life. If you're struggling, yeah, then ask the Holy Spirit for help. You know, if you're finding things difficult in your walk with God, ask the Holy Spirit for help, because he'll be gracious and come in and help you live a life that God has defined for you. Colossians 1 says, "We continually ask," this is Paul speaking to the church in Colossae, "we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit gives." All the wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit gives. "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." We need to read the Bible with the Holy Spirit. Every time we open it, just invite the Holy Spirit to come and talk to you through the Word of God. Let's come back to Acts 2. The first part of that, verse 42, says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So, what are the apostles? Who are they? Yeah? Well, the Greek word means sent one or messenger. And that's really who they are. And whenever you try and ask someone in church leadership or just more mature Christian, so what's an apostle? Why do we believe in them? Yeah, why are they rooted into our church? They might trip and stumble. And I think part of that is because actually in the Bible, it's quite vague what an apostle is. There's, again, that certain something that we recognize as apostolic, but they're sent by God to help the church and be the sent ones. Yeah? So if you look at the apostles in the Bible, you'll find all sorts of different characteristics. Paul was an amazing apostle, and rightly so, a lot of our Bible is based on the writings and teachings of Paul. Peter was completely different, but still an apostle to the church. John was even more different. So each of these people are different, but they carry the weight of a gifting to the church. So Ephesians 4 talks about how Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So apostles are anointed by Christ. They're given by Christ to the church. And they're part of a team that are there to equip the church and prevent them from being blown every which way by the wind and the storm. Yeah? So they're a gift of a sent one to encourage the church to be sent. Yeah? So it's very similar. We've got all these things, the apostles, the teachers, the evangelists. They're all there to equip the church in her mission to the world, to spread God's kingdom, his rule, his reign. That's what they're there for. So when Acts 2 talks about being devoted to the apostles' teaching, we forget at that stage that actually the New Testament didn't exist. Yeah? And that Peter's teaching, Paul's teaching, John's teaching, it's all gone into the New Testament, into the Bible as we know it. So in part, it's kind of like they're devoting themselves to Scripture again. But actually, they're devoting themselves to wise men of God who are given to the church to build them up, to push them on out, to go and see God's kingdom extend. I want to say as well, they're not the final authority in the church. Okay? So, quite often, apostles are seen as ruling over every church, and then the elders sort of sit under them, and we get this hierarchy. And actually, the church isn't like that. The church has been made up of people, and there are certain people whose responsibility is to serve the church. And apostles and elders are like that. But the elders hold the responsibility for the church. They are the ones who are responsible for where the church is growing. So here in Blackpool, currently, we submit to Rob and to Alan. And then Ben is also involved in that leading of where the church is. Yeah? And then he's drawn together a group of team that will come and help him in the leading. But that's not the goal of authority in the church. The goal is that we have elders in the church. And that will come when God apportions that in his time. Okay? So that's a bit about apostles. But again, they're wise men of God who act as that plumb line, who know the Bible inside out, who hear from the Holy Spirit, and who are able to come and encourage the church to set that doorframe vertical. Yeah? The other thing that Acts 2 tells us is that they devoted themselves to fellowship. And that's a key core value of who we are, is about community. And we come together to encourage one another, but also to sharpen one another. Proverbs 27 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So it's important that part of this plumb line involves you. It involves you. It involves you. Yeah? It's not down to me. It's not down to Ben. It's not down to Rob. It is, but only because we're part of this church. Yeah? So we are to sharpen one another, to push one another to be truthful. Yeah, to push one another to be devoted to speak about, to study, to, I forgot my other one, to display. Yeah, we're to display the aspects of God. It's not unfitting that Damien inspires me, because when I see the way he looks after Nicola and after his kids, it inspires me that, yes, I'm devoted to Andrea, but there's an and more. You know, he does that well. And he demonstrates it in a fun way as well. If you ever go round to his, it's not that long before the kids are involved in a sort of melee fight with Damien, generally at the bottom of the pile. And, you know, life's meant to be fun. It's not meant to be all serious. But Damien is devoted to his family in a way that inspires me to be devoted to mine. Another aspect of being in fellowship is that you hear the prophetic word. It's fantastic to hear, you know, Claire standing up this morning and telling us about, you know, sort of what an odd ministry we're going to have. But hey, be relaxed with that, because it's what God's called us to. We live in an odd place. Yeah? And sometimes I think it really is odd. But, you know, it's where God's called us to. And there's a great sense of joy in that as well, because you can laugh at things that go on around. But it's bringing that truth in those situations. So 1 Corinthians 14 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Andy read this to us last week, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Instead, no one understands them. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. So Ben brought a tongue this morning. And whilst that's fantastic, for orderly worship, we need someone to come in and interpret that. And that was done by Lee and by Ben. There's an interpretation that follows that tongue. Part of that is prophetic, yeah? Because prophecy is really about what God is saying to his people, and he uses his people to say that. It's why fellowship is key. I can only have one sort of vision, one aspect of God and who he is. But if I bring somebody in and stands next to me, they have a slightly different perspective on God. That boldens me because I start seeing how big God really is. One of the prophetic words that was brought at the weekend was brought by Rob. And again, I'm trying to remind you here of the prophetic word that was brought, because one, we're already in this place, but the two, there's an and more to it. So Rob said, God's signature, his signature is here on this church. That is defined by one, our worship, where we worship with all our heart. It's not insignificant that Andy was speaking last week about being devoted to worship. Two, holds the gospel tight to its heart and declares it with its mouth. It's not insignificant that we're talking about truth today. I'm talking about truth. You're listening to me talk about truth. Hopefully, God is speaking through me to you. Three, lives in a world where we see need and we step into it. Again, we're doing that, and there's an and more. But like Dale said, it's in God's timing. He will bring all of this prophetic word to being, yeah? To being a reality. So I just wanted to finish by saying, what are we building? What, more to the point, what are we building on? I was listening to a talk by a guy called Simon Sinek. If you haven't heard him, he is amazing. He speaks very much about leadership, but he imparts it in a very real way, in a good communicative way. And this talk, I heard him speak about it before, but he spoke with a freshness, and it just spoke to me. He talked about a guy called James Cass, who's written a paper about finite and infinite games. And basically, a finite game is where it's known players with a known set of rules and a known objective. So you might say a game of football is a finite game, yeah? Because there are 11 players on the pitch. There's a set of rules that say you can't touch it with your hands. You've got to kick it with your feet. And there's an objective to get the most number of goals, yeah? But there are also infinite games. And a problem comes when you have someone who is playing playing a finite game, meeting somebody who's playing an infinite game. You see, in an infinite game, the players aren't always known. They come in and out of the game. The rules aren't fully understood. The objective isn't clear. So if you get someone playing an infinite game, they're playing by a set of rules which basically say, I'm going to get into this game and stay in this game for as long as possible. And that's my rule set, yeah? And so the rules might change, but the ultimate objective is to stay in the game. You get someone playing a finite game against somebody playing an infinite game, and you get all this conflict happening, and basically it wears the person down who's playing the finite game, and they'll lose, okay? So what really spoke to me was that we so often get into playing a finite game, yeah? I'm longing to see a church of 300, 500, whatever we can fit into this hall, yeah? Actually, I'm longing for more. But what are you going to do when that happens, yeah? I'm longing to see a youth group that has a vibrancy about it, that families come in to the church because of what's happening in the youth group. What are you going to do when that's happening? I'm longing to see a church that sees the poor in the area and goes and helps them get jobs, helps them turn their lives around, and helps them get into living a life in prosperity and ultimately finds God. All of those are, to some extent, a finite game. Because the infinite game is God's kingdom. We want to see God's kingdom expanded. Yeah? And all of these are very useful games, in inverted commas. I don't like this really about us playing games all the time, but it's a useful metaphor. So we have things that we're striving for, goals that we can tick off and say, yes, God, we've seen us grow from 40 people, 20 people, whatever it was in the beginning, but 40 people here and now to 300, a great multitude, yeah, that is impacting and changing Blackpool. That's something for celebration, yeah? But that's not the whole story. Actually, the real story is all those people are able to demonstrate God's kingdom, his rule, his reign in Blackpool, and to change Blackpool to draw more people into a relationship with God. That's the infinite game. That's going on. Yeah? So we need to have in mind that God isn't calling us to a finite game. If we build on that basis, then we're going to crack our heads on that doorframe. Yeah? The infinite game is to see God's kingdom come, his rule, his reign here in Blackpool. That's what the Bible teaches us. That's what the apostles teach us. You know, have your mind fixed on the infinite game. I'm not saying don't set goals, because those are important. It's important that we have the ability to celebrate the wins, and we should do that more. You know, sort of where Miriam, who's not in here today, but, you know, she's got a new job, yeah? And that's fantastic. It's brilliant. There's an opportunity there for her to impact a different set of people to the people she's been impacting. So goals are good, but realize they're not the end point. So when we're building, build with the infinite game in mind. The other thing I want to say is truth is designed to change us. Yeah, that where necessary, we might have to rebuild walls. We might have to knock things down and set them straight according to God's plan, according to what he's telling us. Yeah. And as Rob said to us in that prophetic word, it's a word for the whole church, but the church is made up of individuals. So it starts with you. So the word is be devoted to truth. Be devoted to worship. Yeah? These are important words corporately, but they're critical words individuals as well. Yeah? It has to start somewhere, and it starts with you. It starts with me. I'm going to finish there. Just want to encourage you to find what God is calling you to. Be passionate about it. But part of that is being devoted to worship, devoted to generosity, devoted to the truth, and devoted to each other. Have a great week. Be blessed. Spend time with God and be devoted to him. God bless.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.